Very good evening, everyone. We welcome you all in this analyst presentation of Q2 FY25. And from company side, we are joined by our senior management, Mr. Arjun Dhawan, our Vice Chairman, Mr. Jasprit Buller, our MD and CEO, Mr. Girish Gangal, our CFO, Mr. Santosh Rai, who is our Chief Business Officer, and Nitesh Jha, Company Secretary. I have joined this call. I am Rahul Shukla, Vice President Finance. So we will take you through this presentation. Before that, a quick refresher. As you know, that HCC, with almost 100-year-old legacy, has completed various complex projects in the country and outside. As of now, we have completed more than 4,000 lane kilometers of highways, 400 kilometers of tunneling, contributed to almost 60% of India's nuclear power capacity, and 26% of India's hydro power capacity has been done by us. We are well diversified with having executed projects all across India in various states. Currently, our 30 projects are also spread well across various states. So, geographical diversification is quite well evident. Our order book as of now is almost 9,800 crores. Again, diversified across various sectors, with, as usual, transport leading the pie with almost 47%, followed by hydro 26%, water 22%. And Uttarakhand, being a center of hydro projects, leads the pie in terms of geographical diversification, contributing to 31% of our current order book, followed by Maharashtra 18%, Gujarat 15%, and so on. And this order book of 9,800 crore is exclusive of 1,032 crore of recent LOA that we have received in the month of October for Agardanda Bridge project. Key performance highlights for the quarter. So our standalone ENC turnover is 1,203 crores versus Q2 FY24 of 1,138 crores. So there is almost 6% jump. Net profit stood at 50 crore against 52 crore during last quarter, same quarter last financial year. EBITDA margin is almost 18% vis-a-vis last year's 14%. Consolidated revenue is 1,400 crores against 1,800 crore during last year, which essentially is because of lower contribution from Steiner due to sale of construction business. At consolidated level, our profit stood at 64 crore against 6.4 crore during last year. A significant jump can be seen here. And operation side, also we have received a project taking over certificate for DMRC, DC06 project in Delhi. We have completed a southbound arm of Mumbai Coastal Road project, which got inaugurated on 12th of September. And as I mentioned, we have received LOA for Agardanda Bridge project of almost 1,000 crores. In addition to that, we are L1 in projects worth 3,860 crores. And serious work is underway in 46,000 crore worth of pipeline, for which bids will be submitted subsequently. And in order to achieve this, our targeted order book for the year and ensuring growth that we are targeting, we have started our process of QIP also, as we had mentioned in the last quarter as well. And there has been some significant development. We have done our road shows in India and abroad, and the investors are quite warmed up. In fact, our lenders have also put their best foot forward, and they have supported us by giving in principle approval to reduce HCC corporate guarantee to prolific resolution debt from 100 crore to 20 crore. Sorry, 100% to 20%. So the debt of prolific, which stands at around 3,700 crores today, for that debt, the corporate guarantee will reduce to 20%. And as you know, that HCC owns 49% of prolific, which holds almost 6,000 crores of worth of claims and awards. So, and these are interest-bearing claims and awards. In addition to this, we have also received sanction letters for reduction of 307 crores of OCD, which will be a prepayment, and this will be settled at a payment of 234 crores. This will lead into annual reduction of interest by 35 crores. So this is another step towards accelerated debt reduction that we are working on. You can see consistent performance quarter on quarter in terms of revenue, EBITDA, PAT. At the console level also, performance is consistent except for reduction in revenue, which I described just now. Optional update in Coastal Road, as I mentioned, that inauguration of southbound traffic has happened, and this picture represents this segment launching work that is going on. In Delhi Metro, we have received project taking over certificate, some pictures of that. Mumbai Metro station completion work is going on, and work is nearing completion. In next few months, it will be completed. Tehri Pump Storage Plant. This is India's first variable speed pump storage scheme, and Unit 5 machine spinning was done on 4th of August. Vishnugal Pipalkoti. This project has also achieved a landmark of highest TBM mining of 509 meter in the month of September. Our financials, you can take a look. Broad numbers I have already mentioned. Consolidated financials. Steiner, in this quarter, company has received orders worth around 128 crore equivalent. Turnover was almost 200 crore equivalent, and PBT was 14.5 crore equivalent. That's it on the presentation part. Now we open the forum for question and answer.
You may please raise your hands so that I can allow you to talk. We are starting with Sanjeev Damani. You can unmute. Yeah. Yeah, Sanjeev ji.
Good evening, sir, and congratulations for a lot of good development. And very happy to note that you are also planning and very close to getting newer funds. My first question is regarding how much work is on hand which we can straight away execute in the second half. Can I know the quantum of the total work and we are likely to complete? I want two amounts from you. Pending work, which is executable in the second half, and how much we target to complete out of that.
So, Sanjeev, I have displayed the order book position, which is almost 9,800 crore, which everywhere the work is going on. However, we cannot mention the number which is executable in next second half, because that will be a forward-looking statement and we abstain from making that kind of statements.
Okay, okay. I said now where we are L1 in one of the projects, do you foresee that to start in this second half or it may be in the next year only?
Execution start you are talking about?
Yes, yes. The one where we are L1 so far.
I will request Mr. Santosh Rai to take up this question.
Yeah, Sanjeev, this work, I mean, works, if it is, we are expecting these awards to convert in Q3. And the work will start, you can say meaningful work will start only 4 or 5 months down the line after the award. Because these are all in design and build jobs, we have to do a lot of preliminary works before actual execution can start on the site.
Okay. So when we talk of 9,000 crores worth of order, it is including all our subsidiaries that we are talking about, or the figure of subsidiaries and our partners abroad is to be added into this pending order?
No, this is standalone for HCC. This
okay.
9,800 crore is a standalone order backlog position of the company
okay.
as
okay.
of this quarter ending, right?
Right.
And this is the job what we do.
Okay. Yeah, I mean, standalone for HCC, we have a lot of subsidiaries also, and then we have a foreign partner as well. So there also some pending orders are there which will be executed, to be executed and readily available.
No,
to
no,
be executed.
No, that's not a part of this.
Okay. But do we have a figure to disclose?
No, there is nothing like that, because these are the works where we are directly involved, and that's what we would like to
okay.
go ahead with.
Okay. Thank you very much and all the best, sir.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you.
Thank you, Sanjay.
Hi, this is Viraj here. Congratulations on the continued progress. Quick question regarding, you mentioned regarding the prolific corporate guarantee reducing from, I think, 3,500 odd crores to 20% from 100%. What would the implications of that be on HCC and the working capital limits available to take on new projects?
So, Viraj, as you understand, this corporate guarantee is a kind of contingent exposure, right?
Right.
So when the contingent exposure reduces, it's a kind of de-risking, which helps in raising capital and funding our growth. So now that company has started its journey towards accelerated order acquisition and growth, we never wanted this kind of niggling things to be there.
Right.
And that's how this development has started unfolding, and which will certainly help us in future growth.
Understood. And is this contingent on your QIP fundraise going through, or is it already in place?
So it is linked with QIP fundraise.
Right.
And for that, approval is already in place.
Mm-hmm.
And once this process is completed, CD reduction proposal, we will complete our QIP process also.
Right. And you mentioned regarding a 35 crore interest reduction. What is that on account of? Is it linked to this prolific CG, or is that something else?
That is separate from this.
Mm-hmm.
So I think in previous calls also somewhere we had mentioned that utilizing money deposited in court against our arbitration
right.
is one of the ways through which we can
yes, I do recollect.
Do
yeah.
accelerated debt reduction.
Right.
This is one step in that direction, wherein a few lenders are agreeing to give us bank guarantee to withdraw that money for their own repayment purposes. Naturally,
right.
since they are getting repaid, they are getting prepaid, we are expecting some kind of yield waiver or some kind of waiver from them. In that process, some success we have seen, which we have disclosed here.
So they're giving you credit against arbitration awards that are outstanding, but not yet won. Is that my understanding?
So there are arbitration awards against which money is already deposited in court.
Okay.
Now bank will give us bank guarantee,
mm-hmm.
which will be put in court as a security, and court will allow us to withdraw that deposited money.
And then you repay the bank.
Which we will give to lender. Absolutely.
Understood. And that will reduce your quarterly interest cost by 35 crores?
Annual. So right now, that the amount that I mentioned, around 307 crores of sanction letters are there.
Mm-hmm.
When we pay this, prepay this 307 crores,
mm-hmm.
at the rate of 11.5%, this will be annual interest reduction of 35 crores.
And currently, your annual interest cost is about 600 odd crores, I think.
So in terms of interest cost, if you say, it will be around 350, 370.
Okay. You just said 35, now you're saying 3. Okay. I didn't understand that last point.
No, you asked about current annual interest.
Okay,
in
it's about 317.
Correct.
Okay. So about a little over 10% reduction in annual interest cost.
Yeah, right.
Okay. All the best. Thank you.
Thank you.
I just want to add one quick point. There's two forms of capital. Obviously, capital that comes in the form of equity, which we will now basically be judiciously using for growth and substantial. You know, that's given the substantial visibility we have on our future and very near term order growth. And the other is, as you referred to, Viraj, there is clearly when there's an evaluation, obviously with regard to working capital limits, while HCC, you know, HCC's banks are fully supportive of the of whatever requirements that HCC will have in the future. Certainly when evaluations do take place from a credit perspective, from an investment rating perspective, all of these criteria actually just boost substantially HCC's ability to have the required working capital support also as well.
Absolutely. I'm assuming you'd go, Arjun, for the credit rating review once all this is in
place. Absolutely. And that will, you know, as with these events, hopefully, if we're able to execute them, you know, in the short term, that's our expectation. You will, you know, hopefully see as a result of that a substantial basically increase in our credit rating as well.
Okay, all the best.
That itself will basically obviously look to lower the cost of interest in our plan.
Yep.
Really, besides the growth, is to deleverage the company as early as possible.
Yeah, all the best.
Thank you.
Deepak Poddar, you may please start.
Yeah, am I audible?
Yes, yes. Go ahead.
This first up, if you see in terms of our revenue, we have seen degrowth, right? And both in first quarter and second quarter. So for this entire year, any sort of range we are looking at in terms of execution, that would be very helpful. And what sort of margins we are looking at? Yeah.
So just Rahul, before you go,
yeah.
I think that one of the things that we've answered when we've been on the road talking to investors, and we'd like you to sort of really look beyond, you know, fiscal 25. You know, it's mathematical. Mathematically, you have a sense of what our current order book is. You know very clearly that any new orders we have in will actually take at least 6 months, you know, to actually start flowing very positively into our P&L and our cash flow. So to some extent, while you might see some of that basically impacting the next couple of quarters, you know, our point to you is to look beyond that to kind of the order book that we will build and the earnings that will actually come that will follow that. Now, I'll let Rahul address the question regarding earnings of margins. That generally is, you know, historically on the EBITDA side has been in the low to mid-teens, and that's what we look to kind of expect to do in the near future, given the lack of competitive intensity in the areas that we have an edge in and that we will continue to basically execute on.
So Deepak, I hope that addresses your question also. So we essentially are not really looking at very much of a growth in this particular financial year because of limited number of projects in order that we have. But certainly our expectation, our target lies on our growth, for which we have mentioned about the project, this order bid pipeline and all those things. And our order booking in this financial year will be something that will set the numbers for the coming financial years.
Correct. So the current order book of 10,000 odd crores that we have, what is the execution timeline of that? If you have mentioned it a little bit.
Two and a half years is something that we will be completing.
Two and a half years. And a lot of that project will start basically that you mentioned in 4 to 5 months, right? Meaningful work will start basically.
No, so this order book that you are seeing is already under execution.
Already
under execution, yes. One new project that we have mentioned, 1,000 crore, is not included in this 9,800 crore. In this, as Santosh Raya just mentioned, execution will start subsequently.
That is the Creek Bridge, right?
Right.
Okay, fair enough. Yeah, that's very helpful. I think that's it from my side. All the very best. Thank you.
Thank you, Deepak.
Bharat Mani, you may please start.
Hi. So my first question would be on the Steiner AG real estate development party. I guess you had appointed some investment banker to, you know, do some strategic initiatives. So is there any update on that?
So investment maker is there. They are looking for options to divest. Naturally, we want to divest, and we will update whenever there is an opportunity, some development.
Okay. So my second question would be on the PSP projects. So I recently read an article where two PSP projects DPR were awarded in record time. So what are we doing to, you know, capitalize on this opportunity of the government, you know, in this PSP sector? Could you just elaborate a little?
Santosh, would you like to take it? Santosh, are you
Yeah,
there?
sorry.
Can you
Can you repeat the question, Deepak, which you were?
The question is on PSP. So Deepak mentioned that there are two DPRs which are there on the market. So how we are going to take them?
Look, I think PSPs as a sector, we are looking at them, and we are engaged with various forms of clients. They are themselves private power producers, and also government itself is coming up with some schemes. Just as a matter of information, we are constructing 1000 megawatt Tehri PSP, which is also into the final stage of completion now, which gives us an edge. We are in discussions with some very well renowned, I can say, private power sector players. We have also formed some strategic joint ventures, which you will come to know very soon. And we are looking at this sector because it is offering a huge potential. We are clearly seeing that there is an engagement to bid for nearly 12 to 15,000 crores in this sector in coming 6 to 8 months.
Okay. So, just one question on this. So, what is the project cost per megawatt in the PSP?
Look, I think this is a very specific, I mean, this will all depend upon how the original project is, what kind of strata we are dealing with. I won't say a fixed number to it.
So can you just give me a range?
Maybe we can take a range like 5 to 7. Yeah, because it actually depends, because let's say we are having a soil versus we have a lot of rock. How much is the distance where the pumping is to be done? That's important. How much is the what is the size of reservoir we are creating on the top side? So it's all a function of that. Because and also how much capacity are we really adding? Because sometimes by doing all this, still if you are not adding a good capacity, your per megawatt cost vary a lot.
So the turnaround time of PSP is lesser than hydropower projects, right? So that's why
Yes,
government is
yes,
pushing for
yes,
this more.
yes, yes.
So the other question was the regarding the subcontracting cost. It is in quarter two, it was around 54% of the revenue, and last quarter it was around 65%. So what is the reason for this much of a decrease? Is it because of lesser project execution, or what was the reason?
Girish, you may like to
Yeah,
answer. Yeah,
yeah.
please, please.
Good evening. See, subcontract cost is a function of which type of project and which type of sort of a strategy we adopted for a particular project. So, if at all a particular project is a subcontract, it involves a lot of subcontracting, and if that gets executed, naturally my subcontract cost will go up. I'm giving only an example of one project, but like if you collect all projects put together, this subcontracting cost will move accordingly. So there is no, you can't apply a percentage that, it depends on my execution pattern also. A particular project may be where there may be no subcontract at all. I'll be executing myself. And in some cases, I may have a maybe 60, 70% also subcontract. I'm just giving a just a number. So you can't judge, unless you pick up,
Percentage basis.
overall. Yeah, that's right.
So one last question from my side. So what will be the year-end total debt that you see? It is currently at 2,100 crores. So what how
No
much do you see
debt,
by year end?
no
Yeah,
debt,
total debt.
debt, debt. We consider debt including accrued interest. So that is roughly 3,600 today. Okay, and we can expect at least maybe just expectation without considering any further repayments. What we are planning on a regular basis, it should be around 3,000. However, we are trying to prepay also, as Rahul has mentioned in earlier, with various other options. So in that case, this debt can go substantially down.
Yeah, that's it from my side.
Thank
Thank
you.
you.
Jignesh Kothari. Jignesh Kothari, me please. Hello. Jignesh, you are not clearly audible. No, there is a disturbance. No. Jinesh, we can't hear you at all. Means we can't comprehend what is. Jinesh, I suggest you can directly talk to Rahul. Bharat, you have any additional question? Bharat Mani?
No, I don't have it.
Okay. I suggest Bharat can talk to Rahul separately. Rahul, we have don't have any more questions, please.
Okay. So we will close this session now.
No, just a moment. One Ashish Shah had just raised hand. One last question. Ashish?
Yes. Hi. Am I audible?
Yes. Go ahead.
Yeah. Hi, Rahul, and hi, team. I just want to maybe, I'm not sure I may have missed that part. I got disconnected. But what can you explain a little bit on this, reduction in the corporate guarantee for the hived-off debt that we have mentioned in the PPT? Can you elaborate a little? Can you explain a little on that, please? That's the only question I have. Thank you.
So when this resolution plan was implemented, Ashish, a portion of our debt got transferred to Prolific Resolution Private Limited, which today stands almost 3,700 crores. CC has given corporate guarantee to that debt also. While it doesn't affect us directly, there is enough claims and awards which is there, which is also carrying interest. So there is sufficient amount of receivable that is there in that SPV to take care of that liability. But still, 100% corporate guarantee to that debt is a kind of contingent exposure that is there. However, now lenders have in principle agreed that they will go to their board and try to get it reduced. And that is the process which is going on and which we are optimistically looking at. And once that corporate guarantee is reduced from 100% to 20%, naturally the contingent exposure of HCC goes down significantly from 3,700 to almost 600 crores. And that really helps when investors look at HCC, investors like you or anybody else looks at HCC. It becomes a clean slate kind of company for any future contingent risk. So this de-risking is essentially being done from the point of view of essentially making HCC investment friendly, more liquidity for investors. As we are in the path of growth, wherein we might have to raise capital in future as well, apart from the current QIP that we are working on. So this all has been put together, and now we are here that the process has started.
Sure, I understand these things can be, quite difficult to predict, but what's your sense of the timeline, if any, for this to happen? I mean, what's your best sort of an understanding at this point of time?
So best understanding would be end of November is something that is our internal target. But obviously, as you know, lender approval sometimes take more time. So, but our target is end of November that we are working on.
But you've already had some initial round of discussions with some
Yes,
of the lenders on
many discussions have happened,
this.
and that's
Okay.
how the consortium of lenders have in principle accepted up, and they are taking it up internally in their committees.
Got it, Rahul. Thank you. Thank you for this. And all
Thank
the
you.
best. Yeah.
Kunal Tokas.
Hi, am I audible now?
Yes.
This is Jinesh.
Jinesh, is it Jinesh? Okay, go ahead.
Yeah, I had a couple of questions. So this quarter, I see your margins moving substantially higher, standalone margins. So is there any one-time income that we have booked in our revenues or something, one-time income, so that is inflating our margins, or is it purely on the operational purpose?
There are a couple of awards that we have received. So while our operation margins remain intact where they are, slight bump is there because of a couple of awards.
Sir, if it is possible to quantify those amount of awards that we have booked.
So awards are contributing almost 300 crores of this thing, turnover, and margin-wise, proportionate percentage, maybe 40, 50 crore could be there.
Great, sir. And sir, on the second part, you mentioned this about the 20% reduction in the contingent exposure that we have. So from 100% to 20%. So I believe a lot of our non-fund based facilities will get free up. So would there be any additional finance costs saved on this? And if you can quantify that too.
Sorry, I could not get your question. Can you please repeat?
I think Rahul, I'll answer that question. See, the Dinesh, the corporate guarantee reduction, the corporate guarantee does not attract any, you know, it's not issued by the bank. There is no commission or bank guarantee commission payable on that. So it will not impact the financial cost.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. That's it.
Viraj Mahadevi.
Yeah, sorry, if I may, regarding Steiner, I think this question was already asked. Is it possible to disclose where you are in terms of that strategic evaluation with the investment banker? At what stage of the sale or the monetization process?
I think I'll take that question. Let's cross the bridge when it comes. You know, it will be too early to comment either way. Okay. Let surprises be surprises, isn't it? Yeah.
Have first round bids already come in? Has diligence started? I mean, just broad.
Yeah, everything is going on as expected. Okay, so we'll see as soon as we have better idea which we can share with you, we'll definitely share at the earliest.
Thank you. All the best.
Thank you, Viraj. Thank you, Viraj.
Bye.
Kunal Tokas. Yes. Go ahead.
Just a question on your subsidiary HCC infrastructure. As I recall from the annual report, HCC infrastructure is looking for more toll road assets to bid for. So any news about that or what the future of that subsidiary will look like?
So Kunal, we are going to be very selective as far as these BOT projects are concerned. Not really keen on those things. Our current focus is completely on ENC business. However, depending on if there is some very good opportunity which really feeds into our ENC order backlog in a big way, plus there is support from equity investors, the capability lies, and we are certainly in a position to take a BOT assignment without putting any burden, cash flow burden on HCC. So that selective evaluation is going on. And we will look for very selective opportunities.
Look, let me just add another quick perspective on, with regard to PPP. I think that it's the PPP program in India is an essential part of the infrastructure development of the country. It will only continue to increase and scale up. As far as HCC is concerned, our focus is, at least in the short run, over the next, 2 to 3 years until we completely deleverage the company. We would be a little reluctant to actually have a large amount of capital locked up in arguably a higher yielding BOT investment. That said, I think that we are very, very clear that our focus on supporting BOT and PPP is clearly there. We understand how to price risk. We understand exactly the entire development cycle. We've had a fantastic track record in developing BOT projects. And that's precisely why we have a number of partners that are interested, whether they happen to be private equity or they happen to be strategic, in wanting to actually partner with us, not only from a point of view of providing their support from an EPC partner perspective, and in some cases, by the way, when we actually look at our working capital lockup, we think about basically potentially partnering in some small way in a BOT project where we potentially are not just an EPC partner, but we might actually take a smaller interest. That has to kind of be aligned with our working capital and our return on capital criteria, the same way we will look at an EPC project. And in many cases where we're actually seeing our larger development partners, whether they be strategic or financial, start to take some more sort of, construction risk, we are actually, we have handshakes and, already with a number of partners where you will see us participate in BOT projects. But when you do see that, you need to rest assured, as Rahul said, that we're not going to have large amounts of capital locked up until such a time that we're substantially cash surplus and large and quite debt free.
Avinash Nahata, you may please start.
Am I audible, gentlemen?
Yes, yes.
Sandeep, I had one more question.
Okay, wait. Let Kunal finish.
Yes, sorry. And just to confirm, you said that this year FY25 will be muted in terms of getting more orders, and major jump would be seen from next year onwards or even later. Was that right?
No, I think you have misunderstood the answer. What Rahul has said was about the revenue for the year, not the order intake. Order intake will continue.
And the revenue booking will be muted.
Yeah, okay. That's what he is.
Okay.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Okay. Avinash, you may please start.
Yeah, this 20% corporate, there's a follow-up on this 20% corporate guarantee thing. So the payoff from the standalone balance sheet of Hindustan Construction, or the it's not a payoff, it's the deliverables from Hindustan Construction's balance sheet is predicated on the raising of QIP. That's the only deliverable for that corporate guarantee to come from 100 to 20.
So basically, reduction in corporate guarantee will happen even before raising that capital. It's just that we are waiting for some of the lender approvals. After that, that will happen first.
No, sir, I understood that. So mera question hai, why are lenders coming from 100 to 20? I mean, strengthening of balance sheet is what I can understand. So if any, you can put more color to this.
Let me give you another perspective. One of the commercial aspects, right, is obviously, HCC's strength and success will only then basically end up generating a high investment grade rating for HCC and a greater growth and ability to actually then have Prolific as a 49% subsidiary further support it, right? So I think both companies have a somewhat symbiotic relationship, because all the claims and awards that we are actually fighting to actually receive and accelerate, via HCC's efforts. That's number one. But at the same time, what we have actually done to keep incentives aligned is some portion of the equity proceeds that we will raise, a very small portion, is what we will actually use, to provide as a loan to Prolific, to end up prepaying some of the installments that we have for the debt, basically in FY26 and FY26. It's a limited amount. It's basically less than approximately 25% of the equity that we raise to a certain amount will actually be provided as support for Prolific. So what we actually do is achieve a result both for lenders basically in Prolific, but also for HCC, and then we have a combined success for both companies.
Yeah, that's well understood. And if the team can again make us understand, I have slightly not got the thing, that 35 crores of interest saving, if you can just explain in half a minute the modus operandi, it would be...
It's a pro forma annualized figure, just to give you a sense as to what... So we have our regular debt repayments that happen at the end of the fiscal year. During the fiscal year and over the next couple of years, we will make a concerted effort to now start prepaying debt. That prepayment of debt could come in various forms. It could come, obviously equity capital is expensive. We preserve, all of that for growth. But if there is, for example, the ability for us to procure through arbitration awards or through settlements, monies from court that would then come to prepay debt, that would immediately basically then have a deleveraging effect. But then what we're doing for you is we're going one step ahead to actually point out that not only will debt come down by 300 crores, which is nearly about 10% of our total debt by just this one transaction, but the annualized interest pro forma on an annualized basis will come down by that amount as well.
No, so I got the thing. Rahul explained the modus operandi as to awards hai, how do we get this?
So, we've talked about this a number of times before. We've got, when arbitration awards, when you receive an arbitration award in your favor, It generally takes about 3 to 4 years to actually make its way, conservatively speaking, through the court system, until which time when it gets upheld, then you get your monies released. There is an accelerated way that you can actually take those monies out, and that is basically through an execution petition, where the then counterparty, the client, has to deposit the monies in court. And we can, on the submission of a bank guarantee, take that money out and use it for the company. Now, as part of our understanding with our creditors, because we had that liability and asset mismatch with regard to awards and claims in our debt, our banks have issued us special guarantees, which we will then use when we actually have awards, so that we can procure the monies from court, and then we can use those monies to actually prepay our debt. So this, for example, this particular sanction that we've received is just one of many sanctions we expect to receive when we actually have excess money sitting in court to use that to prepay our debt. Does that make sense?
Yeah. So this will just involve a fee in terms of bank guarantee.
Correct.
So to accelerate the entire process.
And that's a very nominal fee for us for a bank guarantee. But what you will see is a substantial deleveraging and a boosting in earnings and a boosting in liquidity.
Okay. Thanks. Appreciate it, Arjun. Thanks.
Of course. Anytime. Just want to take the opportunity before our corporate communications, you know, abruptly ends the call. Just want to wish you and all your families a very, very happy Diwali, and all the very, very best, basically, in the coming new year.
There are three more hands up, so I'll just request Saras, you can start. Saras, are you there? Tanish, are you there?
Wanted to confirm, like, reduced to 25% of the QIB money raised go towards the subsidiary repayment?
That's correct, Tanish.
Arvindji.
25%. Yeah, just also, could you give us more outlook on your tax rate? I've seen high in the past four quarters. So, you know, that would be helpful. How should we look at it going ahead?
Ganga, sir, would you like to take it?
Till last year, are you comparing with the same quarter last year, or you're comparing with last quarter of this year only? So that I can answer very specific.
I think both last four quarters, it seems high, and then it was very low, and then it got high in the first stage.
This, that we have substantial brought forward losses available for the company. Okay, which we can set off against the income what we earn during the year. So that's why there are no provisions which are there in the past as far as that account is concerned. But since we are following a regime which is either you have to pay tax on a regular income, or you have to pay on a MAT or book profit tax, whichever is, you know, higher. So though my regular income set off happens through my brought forward losses, if I have a book profit, I have to pay tax on that amount. Okay. So because of this book profit coming in last year as well as this year, if you see 31st March also I had a book profit, and this year also I have a book profit till September. That's why the provisions are high. It is coupled with few changes in the tax laws also. One of the law is, if you know, this capital gains tax has been changed effect from July 24, wherein instead of indexation benefit, you are only supposed to pay tax at a flat rate on long-term capital gains. So that also affects the notional computation of deferred tax liability. So these are the various reasons for which there is a tax increase, perceived tax increase rate as far as compared to the earlier year. Is it a sufficient explanation, or you would like to know something more?
Oh, thank you. I think it was comprehensive.
Thank you.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
There is one person registered as the iPhone 183.
Hello.
Yeah.
Hi, this is Pratik Kothari. Thanks for taking my question. Just wanted to understand, you know, for the coming years, if you can give some color on which segment will be a growth driver for us. And lastly, a little bit on the nuclear power EPC mandate that we have in our order book. And how do you see that growing in the coming years?
Santosh, request you to take this question, please.
Santosh.
Rahul, sorry, there is some issue with my laptop. Can you please
No
repeat
problem.
the question again? Sorry.
Yeah, the question is that for the coming years, which is 25, 26, 27, in the EPC segment, where do you see our majority growth coming from in the order book, slash revenue recognition happening? That was my first question. And the second was, you know, we've shown around 5% of the order book to be in the nuclear power sector. So how do you see that progressing ahead in the next couple of years? If you can just give some color on that and kind of margins we are looking in that segment.
So first question, I mean, how do we see the our position and everything in 26, 27? And I continue to foresee that transport segment and hydropower, these two segments, and hydropower would be a mix of, you know, hydropower projects as well as PSPs. Transport would be largely ruled by railways. Railways will bring out a lot of surface as well as underground transportation network. Roads will continue to do whatever, you know, is happening, and I think that program will further get strengthened with more PPPs and other, I mean, HAM projects coming in. EPC anyway is on a you know, downward trend, but road is a sector that you will see some growth. Somehow for us, the majority of the volume would be coming from railway projects, which would be a mix of tunnels and bridges. There will be a lot of focus on metros, and which we will continue to participate into. That will be underground metros largely, plus overground, and of course urban infrastructure transportation projects, which are like elevated corridors within cities and everything. So this will, in my view, approximately will continue to be 40 to 50% of our business going forward, and that is evident even in the order mix today also.
Right,
Right.
right.
Nuclear, to the second question what you asked, nuclear, look, it's a very specific kind of business, and though the government is planning to, you know, do a lot of thing in that, the nature of the business is such that you get one or two projects announced every year, and right now it's a heavily controlled segment. Department of Atomic Energy is owning all the design drawing, and NPCIL is the implementing body through which all the projects come. So I see that this segment will continue to be like this. Maybe the sizes of the projects will keep changing, and a government will experiment with different types of, you know, modes what they can use for procurement. Maybe what I mean to say, some large projects, some standalone projects, that's how they will keep bringing. So right now, you know, there were few jobs which were very large size. At the same time, now they are coming up with small jobs which are like 2,000 crore, 3,000 crore, and let's say NDCT, other things will keep coming. So on an annual basis, if you ask me, nuclear sector could be like, only civil I'm saying, because nuclear sector is very big, but civil-wise it would be like, you know, 15-20,000 crores of opportunities coming every year. Within that, we shall be in a position to secure, you know, 2-3,000 is what I clearly see.
Understood, understood. Thank you so much and all the best.
Thank you. Thank you.
So if there is no one, Sandeep, can we close the call, or is there anyone who is willing to ask the question?
Yeah, just a small question. The trade receivable seems to have gone up substantially, YOY basis. If I'm not wrong, I could just check the very short time. So 1,000-odd crores in consolidated cash flow statement, the trade receivables. Any reasons for that?
I'll take this question. No, see, we you need to see this Ind AS accounting requires you to project this account receivable at two stages. One is current and one is non-current. What do you mean by current trade receivables, which are due or receivable within 1 year, and which is non-current, which is receivable beyond 1 year. Now, this composition keeps on changing depending upon the situation. Just to give an example, during this quarter, we have received certain awards. Now they will stand in my current receivables because as on date, there is no appeal or there is no objection filed by the clients against the same. In case the client files the objection within the statutory period of 4 months, okay, then it is going to take a longer period to realize. So that will shift from current to non-current. So if at all you have to see the overall scheme of things, the account receivable, you should see totaling both current and non-current for both the periods. You'll find no much difference. What you are talking about 1,000 crore, it will be only restricted to the accrued interest as well as some portion what you received during the quarter.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Just to continue that nuclear thing, which my predecessor was asking, earlier person was asking. In this budget also, they had announced for a small nuclear thing. So is it at ground level something is happening or nothing of that sort is there?
For nuclear sector? Look, we are already seeing, for example, the already existing plants which are there, like Gorakhpur is under construction. So they have come out with, the next stage bids for that. There are a couple of more bids which are in pipeline, but they are all around the, Indian program which is there. We are not seeing any movement on any foreign program, like which was like with the Americans or with the French.
Yeah, I mean, I was actually sorry to interrupt. I mean, I'm referring to that budget speech, which they mentioned that a small nuclear thing will be
The modular
coming.
ones.
Yeah.
You are talking about the modular ones.
Yes.
I think this is still under, this is a good thought, and this is still under a discussion stage that how, this can be implemented, because when we are involving a private party into that, they want, the technology to be still controlled by them. And then on the what the idea is to, have a private player who can fund some other parts of it and run the show, but then how does the liability gets transferred and everything? These are all still under discussion. There has been some movements, and but they're all at discussion stage.
Nothing concrete on that.
No, I think we did have some meetings with our clients, but we didn't sense much of, you can say concrete coming out of that.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Balu, you may please start.
Hi, am I audible?
Yes.
Yeah, congratulations on the good set of numbers and the continuous improvement in the company. I think in the mid of September, we had got an approval to raise QIP. I just wanted to know the timelines for the finalization of the QIP raising basically.
So Balu, tentatively looking, we are looking at this end of this Q3. By December, we should be able to complete QIP.
Okay, thank you.
Kapil
Good evening. This is regarding that we are having unbilled revenue of approximately 3,000 CR. So that is approximately half of the annual turnover at present on standalone basis. So it's normal, or in future also it will be like that only?
Are you referring to the consol results or you are
No,
referring to the
standalone basis.
so standalone will be 2,000 crores roughly, if I am not wrong.
So it's 3,000 something, 3,121.
Okay. See the it has a see the accounting what is required to be done as far as WIP or the work in progress is concerned is based on the accounting standard Ind AS, okay, recognition of revenue 115. So wherever we have to follow a particular method called an input method or output method, okay. So it requires that wherever I have incurred an expenditure under a contract, okay. However, I have not billed to the client because I have not completed a particular milestone. Suppose I have to bill only once I complete a 5 kilometers of road, okay. But I have done a work for complete 2 kilometers. So the work has been already done, whereas I have not been able to bill the client, correct?
Yeah,
So that
I
time,
got it. I got
yeah.
it.
So
My point
for
is, yes,
so
please.
that point of time, estimating the profitability of that project, you have to build in a WIP for a fair accounting that you will eventually get this much of billing. So that is one part, and the other part is a regular WIP what you have completed. for which you are yet to bill to the client. So that is generally 1 or 2 months billing cycle for which you will have a WIP, which is around 1,000 to 1,500 crore roughly. I'm not getting into the individual, you know, breakup, but
so
that,
like
one is account of that for actual work what you have completed yet to be billed, and second thing is the actual expenditure you are incurred, but you are not in a position to bill because of the contractual condition or a milestone, and you require to account a WIP based on the Ind AS accounting.
I just want to have an idea that like our standalone basis, our quarterly turnover is 1400 odd CR, and that unbilled revenue is 3100 odd CR. So it's more than double of the quarter turnover. So it's normal for us.
If these numbers, you know, I am not yet confirming the numbers. I don't have the numbers in front of me, but it should be 2,000, 2,500, not more than that.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Thank you.
Anish, you have any additional question? Kunal, do you have any additional question? Yeah.
I do. So it was told that the Elven project should get converted into orders in Q3. So those will be new orders. Apart from that, what is the sort of quantum of new orders that we expect in the remaining two quarters of this financial year?
So Kunal, the Elven position is where we are is approximately 3,700 crore. Now, one of them is a hydropower project, another one is a transport project. In addition to that, we have submitted bids in, you know, metro segment. Then we've also submitted bid for a port project, for a PSP project. So our estimates are that, you know, in addition to our this current LOA, which we have received for 1,030 crores plus this L1 position, we should be looking at a number which is around, you know, and of course this is like an estimate, around 10,000 is the kind of number we are looking at for the whole year.
In addition to the
for the whole year.
Okay, I've got it. Thank you.
Yeah,
Just a clarification, whoever asked a question on WIP, I asked the first question whether we are talking about console or a standalone. So the standalone WIP is 2,148 crores to be precise, not 3,000. 3,000 is a WIP for the consolidated number.
Yes.
Just a clarification. Okay. Thank you.
Okay. Tanish, do you have any additional question?
Thank you. I'm done.
Okay. iPhone 183.
Sir, hi, Pratik again. Thank you.
Pratik.
Sir, I have one more question. This was regards to the total outstanding that we are showing to micro enterprises, right? Which has gone up by almost about 29% from 2,400 to almost 3,100 crores, 3,097 as I see. So is there any plan to sort of bring that down, or are we waiting for, you know, the QIP arrangement and the funds to come in? Because apart from prepayment of debt, I think, you know, faster execution, if you can throw some light, if you were to, is there a plan how to reduce this also? Because this looks to be a very substantial chunk higher than the borrowings also for us at this point in time.
See, as far as MSME is concerned, that is a regular activity, what we'll try to settle within the designated time. Depending upon the execution of a particular project, where there could be more MSMEs, our liability can increase in particular quarter and it can go down in a quarter. So there is always a focus to settle MSME as early as possible. It will have no direct impact on the revenue growth or whatever it is. It is independent because this is more of a liability what you need to clear. Okay. So I frankly did not get the correlation what you are trying to do with
so
that.
Basically trying to judge it at as a percentage of sales or as a percentage of order book, what can be expected to be maintained at? Is there a level that you guys look to maintain it at?
No, that's what I'm repeating once again. See, as far as you don't select a MSME depending upon the order of a particular project. MSME is a vendor which whenever you select a vendor, and in a particular project, if at all you have 10 vendors, you don't select a vendor whether it is a MSME or a large vendor. Okay, what is required for the project, we select accordingly. So there is no specific what you can say theory to select or not select MSME. It depends on the actual work to be executed by that particular person and the capabilities of that person. So there is no focus as such that, when you execute a project, you select MSME or non-MSME. It happens naturally, I mean, depending upon the, as I earlier explained, depending upon how many people you would have employed in that particular project.
So, okay, my question was from the fact that, whilst our outstanding has gone up by almost 700 crores, and if I was to look at the first 6 months sales, right, 3200 odd, and the profit in correlation to that, so would that be a right way to look at it? Because,
No, there is no correlation. There is no correlation. There is no point in correlating that way because
Okay.
it is on the class of vendor vis-a-vis. I mean, profit doesn't have any role to play with the class of vendor.
Right. Understood. Okay. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Rahul. No more questions are there.
Thank you so much. Thanks everyone for joining this call and wish you all a very happy Diwali. Have a good time and look forward to see you again in next quarter. Thank you all. Good night.